This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I am joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director at Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, excited, man, making it happen. We're taking down deals. We're going to crush it with an upcoming money mixer. Can't wait to see the whole community there turn deals together. Gino, what's going on in your world?
I am excited about the duo today we have on the show. Two entrepreneurs. We're going to learn a little about pain. We maybe talk about hives. I don't know what else is on the schedule, but it's going to be a very, very interesting conversation, Josh.
All right. Speaking of today's guests, we have Jared and Dean Connolly. The gentleman grew up in the small town of Crestline, Ohio. Jared is a dermatologist and has spent the past 4 years in operations for a large multi-specialty medical group. Dean resides in Columbus, where he has launched multiple successful businesses, including multiple physical therapy clinics, a thriving home care agency, and a lecture circuit. Jared and Dean partnered in 2018 to form Aspen Realty Group. Dane operates as the CEO and is in charge of creating new real estate opportunities and partnerships with other real estate professionals. Jared focuses on running operations for Aspen Realty Group. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, guys. We made it to the big time.
I got my first question for you. Why multifamily? Because Dane and Jerry, you're both entrepreneurs. Dane, you've done several businesses. You're creating wealth. And why multifamily?
Yeah, I'll start off on that. Like, I, as a kid, always loved real estate. I think being an architect was the first job that I wanted to have. And I remember the weekly newspaper that we used to get back then when there were newspapers. Every Sunday, there was a section where they would have a new home design. Mm-hmm. And I got mad at mom and dad when they stopped getting the Sunday paper because I always loved... I would bypass the sports and go right to that to see if I like that design of the home. And so I've always loved homes. I remember when mom and dad built their home and we, you know, my wife and I built this home and it was kind of our design. And I had buddies that had condos that they would rent out here and there. And I looked into their models and always wanted to pull a trigger, but it just didn't make sense why I want to buy like one, you know, $100,000 condo and maybe break even every month or make $100 every month. And there was something in the back of my mind that was holding me back. And, you know, I talked to Jared about it the one day and he said, well, why don't we do multifamily? And, you know, him being the brains of the organization, I said, what does that mean? And so Jared, I'll let you take over. He introduced me to you guys and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, I was looking for passive income opportunities, just really wanted that flexibility of time really was key for me going forward in my life. And stumbled onto a podcast called Wheelbarrow Profits and was listening to that for a period of time and then read the book. And the book was just sort of that moment for me that kind of clenched in my mind of this is what I'm going to do. And I started looking for places out in Colorado where I live and then talked to Dane once on the phone and had mentioned multifamily, mentioned the book. He read it, I think in a day or maybe two. And yeah. Shortly after we started our company and 3 months later, we closed on our first deal.
What were the problems you were experiencing before joining Jake and Gino and in multifamily? What were the big objections or beliefs that you had before you joined the community?
You know, yeah. I think it was, you know, how do we do this? We don't have multiple millions of dollars in our bank accounts at this point. You know, how do we, everything we looked at was, oh my gosh, $1 million, $2 million. And, you know, how do we get there? And being in the medical field for both of us, we're very objective. Show me the proof, show me the research article that shows, mm-hmm. you know, X, Y, and Z. And, you know, when we read your book, like literally, I think Jared took a day and I took a day and a half. We absorbed it so quickly because it did, it gave us that fundamental, a proof of concept, how to do things, answered a lot of the questions and concerns that we had. And then listening to your podcast and the other people that were in similar situations, proof of concept, they were able to do it. So, you know, every business that I've started, I've always surrounded myself with people that are smarter than I am. Because if we fail, I want to fail with good people that are smarter than I am and know what we're doing. And that's what, you know, I grabbed onto Jared's coattails on that.
I think too, having, you know, having our own jobs, we have kids as well. Time again, being sort of our limiting factor. And so, you know, why spend hours researching something when we can be around individuals who are trying to do the same thing as us and have mentors? Cause we didn't have mentors at all when we bought our first property.
Mm-hmm. So Dane, this question's for you. At Jake and Gino, I like to say we create multifamily entrepreneurs. You've done multiple businesses. I want you to tell the listeners out there, what are the similarities between building a business that you have in the medical profession and translating that over into the multifamily or into real estate in general?
You know, I think the foundations are the same. You need to find sound fundamentals, principles of how to operate. In the medical field, you know, we always say we want to find really good people first. Mm-hmm. That are empathetic and fit our mantra, our mold of do the right thing. If I always say, if you're a C+ physical therapist, but you're a great person, you know, we can train you to be a better, you know, therapist. Mm-hmm. But if you're a butthead and an A+ therapist, you're not going to fit in. You can't fix a butthead or teach a butthead to not be a butthead. So, mm-hmm. you know, surrounding yourself with good people, doing the right thing on that side. And it's very similar here. That's kind of our mantra. Jared and I kind of specialize in affordable housing. We didn't grow up with granite countertops, you know, we didn't grow up with carpet in some of the rooms at times. So, you know, we want to do the right thing. Affordable housing sometimes gets a bad stigma. You know, we've all heard the term slumlord, things like that. That's not what we want to do. We want to operate with those same principles on the real estate side of running with good people, and doing the right thing, providing, you know, dignity and quality of housing, to our tenants.
Jared, you want to add anything to that?
No, I think he's spot on with the fact. I think we're taking some of the same principles from outside experiences and applying it. And really, I think the point we try to drive home a lot is we can turn this into a successful company and you know, financially do well, but at the same time, provide a good service to the community and take care of people and provide a really good premium product too. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You don't have to cut corners to, you know, maximize your profits. You can provide, you know, a good quality product and do well financially.
You know, guys, I love that. Dane, something you said really sticks out to me when you said you look for good people. A quote that always resonates with me is hire for attitude, train for skill. And I think that's so underrated within business, is finding good people. And like you said, within multifamily, how you succeed is by providing a quality product. And in fact, success isn't a zero sum game, meaning you win and you're you know, winning off your tenants, but in fact, it can be mutually beneficial. And that's such a cool concept of what you're doing, not only improving their lives where they live, but the neighborhood they live in as well.
Yeah. And it just goes, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back here, we're just doing the right thing. But 2-3 years of being in this, we're starting to get that reputation from tenants, from brokers, from agents that, hey, these are good dudes. They're not going to screw anybody over. They're going to do the right thing. So yeah, it's reassuring, you know. And then on the medical side, like, what, 2 years ago, we pushed the envelope a little bit. We wanted to expand a new division that was really exciting, that could have doubled our revenues. And my business partner, who's my best friend of 25 years, and I brought in this leader, and we both had, you know, our spidey senses were tingling, like, I don't know if this guy fits. I don't know if this guy fits. We decided to dance with the devil, and that lasted about 8 months, and there's still legislation going on there. we exited that, and we just shut down that entire division because it was not operating to our standards. And you know, and you learn, you pay tuition. Yeah, we gave it a shot. But it just reinforced those basic principles of run with good people, do the right thing, be as efficient as you can. You know, it's not a crime to make money, and go from there and grow and learn. So
three things that we have to write down, everybody. It's people, systems, and culture. Those are the three things that transcend any business. And I think they transcend into your family as well. Yeah, you need to have systems in your family. You need to know what you're doing, when you're doing it. We're homeschooling our kids. Our systems aren't always the greatest. I mean, are my kids right now, well, my wife's at the dentist with one of them. Three of them are in the room. I don't know what they're doing. I went and checked in before. That's why I was late on this podcast, guys. But that's what it is. So write that down. People, systems, culture. And I think, honestly, what you need to do, I think Dane has core values. I think what happened is he checked his core values when he made the decision to dance with the devil. Because I did that a couple of years ago also. I was a little naive into saying, this guy is not as bad as I think he is. My 19-year-old daughter at the time knew. Maybe I should have listened to her. But yeah. I was seeing dollar signs. I was chasing money. I wasn't chasing opportunity. That's the problem that I had. So it's a great learning lesson, right? We see the problem. The way we see the problem is the problem. I mentioned that to you guys before we got onto it, right? The problem is that you're in legislation, but that's not the problem. The real problem was that you didn't do your due diligence. You didn't listen to your spidey senses and you went and did the deal anyway. And now you can look back on that, reflect on it, go, I'm never doing that again. I'm going to trust my intuition. I'm going to look at my core values. And our core values at Jake and Gino, growth mindset, extreme ownership, unwavering ethics, make it happen, and growth mindset. Those five, that's what ours are. And every time we look to connect with a vendor, we look connect with a student who wants to join the community, when we look for an employee, we look at those core values. So everyone out there starting a business, if you're just getting into real estate, this may be where you may be saying, I'm not ready for this. No, you need to start with the end in mind. As Stephen Covey says in the second habit, this is very important, everybody. Start with the end in mind. What do you want your end of your life to look like? And then reverse engineer it. And if you don't want to get into bed with people and dance with the devil, you don't make that decision. But you have to have core values. And that's my biggest mistake before when I got into real estate. I thought I was just buying apartments. I thought I was just putting together. No, you're doing something much bigger here. You're becoming an entrepreneur. You're buying these little properties, which you can start bundling together. And they're little mini businesses, which you can control. And at the end of the day, you can either control to keep them or you can control to sell them. You guys want to add anything to that?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I almost mentioned the reverse engineering. You know, sometimes in business, that's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. On the medical side, it's constant changes from Medicare reimbursement or insurance reimbursements. Okay, now we're only going to get paid X amount of dollars. Oh boy, I know my fixed costs are this. How do we still maintain our growth mindset, our company growth, our profitability, in these times? And so, you know, COVID kind of presented that to a smaller, we weren't overly affected on the rent side, but same thing, you kind of have to know where you want to be or need to be figure it out from there. It's something that took a little, you know, a couple of years of experience from on my side for sure to figure out. For sure.
Awesome. Guys, jump into your first deal. Let's talk about your first deal, how you found it. And more importantly, I'd like to talk about your buy right criteria, because at Jake and Gino, we have the buy right, the manage right, and the finance right. And you guys have strict buy right criteria. What are you looking for? So that first deal, how did you find it? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, that first deal, it was a LoopNet deal, actually. and we were hungry looking for everything at that time. It was a 20-unit deal. At that point in time, because that would have been late 2018, we actually closed early 2019. We wanted, you know, 8 to 10% cash on cash kind of out of the gates. And we're looking for value add types of opportunities. And this checked all the boxes. The previous owner had, there was just a ton of deferred maintenance. He was self-managing it. He was extracting a lot of the cash out and not really putting anything in to the deal. So we, this despite the value add, as Bill Hamley says, distressed asset. at that time we called it value add. So you know, we could see the potential, the upside. This was pre us joining the Jake and Gino community, so this is us doing it on our own. And we paid lots of tuition on that deal. That's for sure. Made
Let's
a lot
talk
of
about
mistakes.
That tuition. That's important because people think that they're spending money on their education, and I'm a culprit of this. And when I first started years ago on coaching, I thought, wow, I'm going to have to spend what am I coaching? But now I look at it as an investment. And like you said, the Bill Hamm says you either pay your tuition on the street or you pay it in the classroom. And when you pay it in the classroom, it's a lot better because you have somebody who's holding your hand, who's done it before. What would you have done differently on that deal if you had Bill Hamm advising you? Because like you said, we're in the market cycle right now where a value add is called a value add. But back in 2013, it was called a distressed asset. So the marketers, you got to love the marketers, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's night and day. So we closed on a deal in December, you know, after being in the community and having Bill as one of our coaches. And I mean, we didn't think on this first deal about market cycle. We just, you know, I guess had the mindset of this is just going to keep going great. So we didn't think of that at all. We didn't know property taxes would go up, and they went up considerably after we bought it.
That one thing, exactly. That exactly. One tip right there, you would have gotten your investment back because you know what? That is going forward. That underwriting is going forward. You probably would have gotten a $50,000 or $60,000 reduction in your price because you'd have said, I need to underwrite it. Mr. Seller, you're selling it at this price, but you know what? Let's do the underwriting because all of a sudden our expenses have gone up X amount. That's great. I love that. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's really huge because that's a big mistake that a lot of new investors make. So anyone listening to this podcast, there's a free golden nugget right there. If you're underwriting deals, please on your pro and you're buying on your pro forma, not the broker's pro forma. You're buying on your pro forma. Make sure that you call up the county and see where those taxes are going because you're going to pay that bill and that bill is coming due. And especially now with assets rising in price, those property taxes are most assuredly going up. So,
Yeah, not only did they go up, the school board filed a grievance and they like retroactively charged us for the previous tax year as well. So we took a huge tax hit on that deal. So that was a big piece of tuition. I mean, there were many. Our first management company, we stayed, we used them for about 5 months and then had to fire them. It was just not a good fit. Things weren't happening. Units would stay vacant for extended periods of time. As a part of all this value add, we had to do a lot of rehab to the exteriors, the interiors, and we ran into a scenario where the contractor just ended up walking off the job with a bunch of money and supplies we had paid for. And so there was a lot of pain points on that deal. I think the part I'm the proudest of, though, is we didn't waver. We stayed with it. And even in those darkest moments, I mean, when somebody literally just steals from you, that was a tough shot. And, you know, we, like I said, we stuck with it. And that property, I mean, we ended up doing a bunch of things, you know, got a different set of contractors in, good reputable people, better management company, turned things around. And that place is humming now. we were in the process of doing a big cash out refi when COVID hit. And so the terms of our Freddie refi changed like three times during it, but still going to do well on that refinance. Have long-term agency debt. The cash flow is phenomenal on that property. So despite some big hiccups early on, it's been great.
I see Dane wants to jump in because he wants to pour a little salt in that wound right there. So we're going to talk about the next wound, but let's stay on this one because there's pain in this, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. And you took massive action, right? And Stephen Covey, again, the first habit is be proactive, be responsible, the ability to respond. And, you know, Jerry, you didn't go into the fetal position because somebody stole money from you. You could do that. You could be a victim and say, well, it was me. You know, I got ripped off. I'm going to quit. You didn't. You picked up and you kept going. So, Dane, you want to pour a little more salt on that wound? Love to hear.
Yeah, man. There were a lot of dark days. And if there's anything that maybe somebody can take away from this, you know, the real estate was probably, I don't know, my third or fourth business that I've started. And I've never, you know, I'm a fighter. I scrap and claw and figure it out. There were some dark, dark days there, man. Cause like the first two or three people that we were introduced to locally, ended up just being horrible people, and almost sabotaged us from the beginning. And so, man, we were trying everything and everything kept backfiring. Yeah, like Jared said, that was $100,000 that this individual walked off on with. And there was one night where I said, I don't think we're good at this. I don't think that this is for us. And we're both kind of passionate people, and we slept on it. And the next morning, you know, we kind of woke up still licking our wounds, still trying to figure out how we're going to afford. You know, we already paid $100,000 for roofs. Now we need to come up with another $100,000. And, you know, we figured it out. But man, brother, I tell you, it was 10 months probably of just bad. But, you know, with your guys' help and guidance and learning on the job, that helped a lot. I wish we would have had that at the beginning. I really, for guidance on underwriting and things like that we probably could have done better. But just for that phone call, to be able to, you guys are so approachable, be able to call you or Bill or Josh and say, hey, this is what's going on, and get some, you know, firm, sound recommendations. But I can tell you that was, those were some dark days. That was really, really tight financially. I've got three kids, and we've adopted one, so we've got four. And all of that financial stress on top of running another business or two, it was tough. But just like anything, you know, nothing worth a damn comes easy. And like Jared said, I think it helped out also. This is something, we're brothers. We lived in the same little tiny bedroom for 15, 16, 18 years, whatever. One closet, by the way. Our sister's got two closets. We had a closet the size of me for two boys. Our bunk bed barely fit in this bedroom. But so you thought that we would know each other really well. But some of it was like, look, I'm the director of operations for my medical company. I'm really good at that. I was not as good as with that on the real estate side as I should have. So Jared said, I'll take that over. I said, okay, great. And then we started figuring things out, like, oh, I can handle the boots on the ground, the relationships, the finding the deals. And once we got the right people, you know, in the right seats of the bus, it really has been very smooth. But there are times where I don't even have to tell him, you know, X, Y, and Z, because I know he's doing it, and vice versa. So, yeah, you just got to keep your head down. And when you think it's, you know, when you think it's not worth it, you know, sleep on it, I guess. You guys, and put your brother in charge.
Do you guys mind if I make a couple of assessments on what I saw that you guys could have done better in that first deal?
Sure.
Definitely.
I think that the proprietary three pillars of real estate, everyone out there listening to this, and this is not something you're going to find on Bigger Pockets or LinkedIn or whatever. This is truly what Jake and Gino teach. Let me break it down. It's the market cycle, it's debt, and it's exit strategy. I'm probably assuming that Jared and Dane didn't even think of what their exit strategy was, because when you're a beginning investor like Jake and Gino, all you're doing is buying and holding forever. That may be right, but that may not be right. So if you don't have an exit strategy, how are you going to get, what kind of debt are you going to get on it? Are you going to get community? Are you going to get bridge? Are you going to get agency? You don't know that. So everybody, when you're looking through a deal, I got lenses right here. Look through the lens of the market cycle. And they bought the deal probably at the right part of the cycle, that type of asset, right? Now that the cycle is a little bit higher, maybe buying that asset, you know, it's all about the buy right. They probably bought it at a right price. They probably could have paid less, but that's okay. We can't look at that. That's gone. The buy right. And then you're looking at the debt and the exit strategy. Those are the three pillars you need to be looking at it. Then coupling it with the buy right, the manage right, and the finance right. And that manage right portion, I'm sure if you had a coach from Jake and Gino on managing you through it, helping you look at the property management clauses that they have, their processes, are they having turns? Are you guys getting on weekly calls? What's your cadence accountability with the property management company? When you first start, you know, and even Dane is a, you know, he has a couple of businesses, but when you're looking at it from that perspective, it's as if sometimes you're a new investor. You don't want to bother that property management company. They're doing you a favor. But when in reality, they're your team member, and you want to be, once again, with Stephen Covey, be proactive. You want to know that delinquencies are $6,000 on week two. Why is that? Let's get that going. So the manage right portion is really important. And I think the last thing, all new investors and even experienced investors underestimate CapEx. It's the CapEx tsunami. And that's one thing. That's why you should invest in your education. Just from that point alone, when you overpay for a property and you're underestimating what roofs are going to cost, what hot water heater is going to cost, what driveways are going to cost, what cast iron plumbing is going to cost to replace, it's all looks great until you start diving into the weeds and going, wow, we need an extra $100,000 on this property because we didn't budget for that. So those are all things that you can learn the easier way or the hard way. But I think, you know, knowing that you guys stuck into it, knowing that you guys know what your why is because you're creating this ultimate business, and that's why you didn't quit and you just continue to go on. And you know, Dane, when you start a business, it's not, I mean, you're starting a business, it takes a couple years before a business becomes profitable. And I think people lose that realization. They think they're going to strike it from day one. Jake and myself went through the same struggles on our first property. It took us a good 6 to 8 months to get our bearings going on that property. So, you know, kudos to you guys for sticking through it. Now, you guys talked about another deal. And we talked about it. It's fallen in, fallen out. Talk about some of the pain points with that deal and, you know, some of the learning lessons you have from that, because that's what, you know, people want to hear on this podcast. They don't want to hear, hey, we're getting, you know, all this passive income, but that struggle from finding that first deal, doing great. Now you're onto the second one. What are the struggles or the pain points that you've learned from this next deal that you're looking at right now?
Yeah. So during COVID, not being the kind of guys to kind of just sit around and woe is me, there are no deals because COVID, we started trying to think creatively, like, yo, who's struggling right now? Where can we still grow our portfolio? And so I just came up with a stupid idea. And I said, hotels are really doing poorly now. And I wonder if there's an extended stay America style of hotel here locally that would be for sale. Jared found the broker and sent me his information. I was looking and spoke with this individual and found, I think it was 92 units, extended stay type of America hotel here locally that was had been for sale for multiple years. Came out to be very affordable per unit. They were a mix of 1 and 2 bedroom hotel rooms, you know, the efficiency apartments. So then the real work started of, okay, now what? You know, this is a hotel. What is zoning? You know, I've never gone through this. So reading up and learning all the different zoning parameters and what it would take to rezone and flip this from, I think it was zoned as mixed use. How do we flip that, or can we flip that to residential? And got into some serious negotiations that really made sense for us. It was a property that I told Jared, I walked it 2 or 3 times, would be perfect. It has a small little community swimming pool, nice little basketball court and park attached to it. And it's in good shape. It's a newer late 1980s property. And it's one of those properties where if I was needing a place to stay, I would stay there. So the neighborhood is okay, not the best, but it's, again, becoming revitalized. And then we started running into some of the pain points on that. So that's been about a year, I guess, maybe just short of that we've been working on. Jared, I'll let you expand, but we got to the point where we had an accepted offer. We had sent over the contract, and part of that contract was that the seller would agree to sign off on the rezoning application, and he decided not to. And this was a deal, Gino, again, where you know, nothing worth a damn comes easy. I told you before we started taping, I personally know I put 100+ hours in on this, and was all excited and had told Jared, I'm going to take this down regardless. Like, I'm going to take it down or die fighting. And it sapped. It really, after the third time that it fell out of contract, I it took me about a week to mentally recover. I didn't look at anything Jared was sending me regarding multifamily. I didn't read multifamily. I didn't listen to your podcast. I'm sorry. But I just couldn't, man. It was like a really bad hangover. You know, I couldn't drink from the poison for a week or so. And then with the way the market is going now, you know, what we could have bought at 40, like we were saying a year ago, is now going for 70 for C assets. It's madness. Jared just randomly texted me yesterday or the day before saying, "Hey, why don't you sip from the poison again? Why don't we revisit? Why don't I get you really hung over again and you know, investigate this deal?" So.
Sounds like a great brother, to be honest with you. Sounds like something my brother would do to me. So yeah. You're killing me, Jared. Why are you doing that to him?
Huh? You know, I appreciate his hustle, and I felt like we should go at this thing again. And yeah, I mean, it's just, I think even when it fell through, when literally they just needed to sign on the contract. Again, if you're looking, like a take home point is, we didn't, you know, lose our emotions and blow up. I mean, we did privately. We were angry privately, don't get me wrong, and devastated. But, you know, we maintained a good relationship with the broker, you know, and the seller, because we had some direct communication with him. And that's allowed the deal to come back to us a couple of times. And so, you know, with the hope of, hey, maybe this will work out in the future. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Final words before we go to the short answers. Patience, persistence, but willing to walk away, but then willing to re-engage and maybe drink from the poison as well again. So don't know again. Let's take a quick time out. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors. Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, gentlemen, I got some short answer questions for you here. So what we'll do is, Jared, I'll have you answer first, and then Dane, just so we kind of don't have you guys spit it out at once. All right, so best habit for success, go.
Persistence, and just don't give up. I mean, Dana mentioned it earlier. It's not going to be easy. You have to want it. You have to have a good why, and you have to stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Dane?
Yeah, I would say hard work, and stick to it in this, but hard work, that's what I teach my kids. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. You just have to outwork everybody.
Love it. What about best advice for a new investor?
Get educated. Pay your tuition to someone who's going to work with you and not work against you.
Love that. Yeah, that, when Jared and I talk about that a lot, that's definitely number one. You know, number two, I would say would be, you know, find a way, you know, whether it's revisiting that hotel deal or talking to Bill Hamm about creative financing. You know, the more tools in your toolbox, the better. And find a way. Maybe it's pivoting into new builds or something along those lines, switching entity classes from C class to A class, maybe, but find a way to stay active in taking down properties.
Boom. Love that one. All right. What about favorite book?
everyone says this, but Rich Dad Poor Dad for me. That was a game changer. I felt like I was looking at the world wrong my entire life until
what,
I read
what
that
What made you change about that? Like everyone says that book. Like, what was the epiphany for you in that book?
That to essentially, you know, make my money work for me, not work for my money. And there was one line in there, essentially to the effect of, you know, if you're a W-2 employee, you're either making your company wealthy or the government wealthy by paying taxes. When I read that, I was like, oh man, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. So that's got to be at the top for me.
Love that.
Yeah. Well, of course, wheelbarrow profits for me, right? No, I mean, yeah, wheelbarrow profits was great. You know, before that, good to great was again going back to what we talked about. I need fundamentals. I need proof, research, and that provided a lot of basics that I still revisit every once in a while. It's on one of these bookshelves back here. I'll pull that out and revisit some of the notes I'd made. I'm making my kids read that before they go to college.
Dude, I wish my dad would have made me read that before I went to college. So good for them. Yeah. All right, cool, guys. This has been an absolute blast of an episode. I want to hit it off with some of the things that really stood out to me. So I got three things here. One is hire for attitude, train for skill. Two, trust your gut. There's something definitely to the gut instinct. And then number three, persistence. And Gino, I know you got some stuff to add to that. Let's hear it.
Well, I'm going to try to recap the boys, I guess, existence from when they were born. I mean, that sounds painful, sharing a room with one closet while your sister's got two closets and you. And it's a great thing because when you get older, you don't need the accumulation. You don't need the things, right? I mean, not having carpet on the floor, I mean, that's a little rough. I had carpet. I was a little poor myself, but at least we had carpet down in Brooklyn. But growing up in that and, you know, becoming very successful, both in the medical profession, but both understanding that it's great to follow that passion, but at the same time, you want your money to work hard for you. You don't want just to work hard for money. And having that epiphany is what I think is the first, one of the first epiphanies that we all have. We want to get into investing and we want to do investing right. And I think Dane has shed a lot on what investing looks like, doing it from the entrepreneurial standpoint, doing it from the business standpoint. Don't look at real estate as just tenants and toilets. That's what it is. But transcending and looking at it as an asset and as a multiple business and a way to create those mini businesses around it, having the 26 unit. Now you're going into buying a couple of small single family homes we've been speaking about. Now maybe looking at this extended stay motel, buying all these other different assets, not looking at them just as real estate, but taking an entrepreneurial slant on them and building them up and trying to create streams of revenue from them is a great story. And I think that's how we should all be looking at in the real estate space.
Man, I love it. Gino's like the you know, the younger Morgan Freeman. You've made it when he narrates your life. That's all I can think of when we go through this. But all right, gentlemen, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, which is our company. It's Aspen Realty. So the website's Aspen Realty Co. So co.com. Or you can email us. So it's Jared, J-A-R-O-D, at AspenRealtyCo.com, or Dane, D-A-Y-N-E, at AspenRealtyCo.com.
Listen, gentlemen, it's been an amazing episode. I want to thank you for being amazing guests. And guys, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a Movers and Shakers week.
And boy,
Gino's going to bring us home.
As in the Shawshank Redemption, when Morgan Freeman's in the yard right there. Everybody, get busy living or get busy dying. That's all I got to say, folks.
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
Take care, everybody.